We are here this morning to open the Word of God together. Amen. Are we ready to do that this morning? Are we ready to do that this morning? Come on now. I've been off for 2 weeks and I am fired up and ready to go. All right, so you're going to get the full Pastor Justin experience this morning as we dive back into the book of Romans, which we've been in now for a couple of months. It's hard for me to believe we're actually over a third of the way through this amazing book, this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome 2,000 years ago that has just got so much amazing stuff in it for us even today, 2,000 years later. And so I want to do kind of a quick roadmap, if you will, of Romans up until this point. Like, where have we been? So Paul begins this letter by essentially sharing with us that there's a problem. Humanity has an issue, and that issue is this problem called sin. We have rebelled against God. We have chosen to do things our own way and go against the standard and the way of God. And the real problem with that is that there is absolutely nothing that you or I can actually do about that problem. We are actually incapable of solving this sin rebellion problem on our own. In our own power, I can't do it. I'm powerless. And so the amazing news, the good news, and what Paul has really been talking about for the last chapter or so is that even though we can't work our way to right standing with God, we can't do enough good works, God made a way. He sent his son Jesus to die on a cross and pay the penalty for our sin so that we could truly live. We could have hope for our future. And so as Paul kind of wraps up that piece, he's going to begin to move in chapter 6 into talking about if we know what the problem is, we know we can't solve the problem on our own, God has provided this amazing solution. What are the results of that in our life? What does that actually produce? Because I believe this, salvation produces so much more than just God saving us and forgiving us and giving us heaven. He actually makes it possible. And this is what we're really going to dive into today as we work into chapter 6. He makes it possible for us to actually live righteous lives. That was not possible before. We could not live righteously because of the sin inside of us that we were powerless to. But in Christ, we actually have the capability to do that. And that's an amazing thing that honestly, as I thought about this, as I was studying this out over the last few weeks, I don't know that very many Christians have fully grasped that, fully get that, and have taken that to heart, right? And so as we begin here this morning, I want to start with a question. Do you know, do you recognize, you understand that if you have repented of your sin, you've believed in Jesus, you've professed him as your Lord and Savior, that you are no longer who you once were? Do you believe that? Church, do you believe that today? Yes, right? You are not who you once were. You are a new creation. You are something completely different than you once were. He didn't just, let me put it this way, right? The old you is dead and gone. He didn't just patch you up, slap some new drywall on, throw a little new, you know, coat of paint on there. No, he demolished the house. Your old house is gone. He stripped it all the way down to the studs, all the way down to the foundation. There's a whole new foundation to who you are. This is how scripture puts it. Look at this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. You are a completely brand new creation. You're not who you once were. And yet, I believe this, there are so many people who miss this truth. They miss this truth. You are a new person, a new creation. And you know what that means? You have a new heart. Your heart is not the same as it was before. You are fundamentally changed at the identity level. That's what God has done for you. His grace doesn't just save us. It actually changes the very nature of who we are. That is a mind-blowing and amazing thing to think about. Let me put it this way. A transformed life produces transformed living. Something happens in a person who comes to know Jesus and profess them as Lord and Savior. Your transformation is going to produce in you a new way of thinking, a new way of living, right? And yet I think there's so many people who they come to faith in Christ, and here's what they continue believing. They're still the same old person they once were. Yeah, I'm saved and I get to go to heaven now, but I'm basically still who I once was. No, you're not. No, you're not. And that's what I want to dig into today, because I think the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Romans. He wants the Christians in Rome to see this, and I want you to see this, that you're not the same old person. Why? Because this is essential to living a victorious life in Christ, actually understanding this. And so we're going to dive in today. We're going to unpack this together. We're going to get back into chapter 6. Mark Steffi, who was here a few weeks ago, he started in chapter 6 and began to kind of lay the foundation for this. And I'm just going to pick up right where he left off. And so I encourage you, open your Bibles with us this morning. I encourage you, bring your Bibles each week. This is a BYOB church, okay? Bring your own Bible, okay? Every single week. Here's why. Yeah, you can have it on your phone. That's fine. If that's how you want to roll, I'm cool with that too. But like, I think there's something about having that tangible Bible in your hand, opening it. Why? Because we want to get used to opening it every day, not just when we're here on Sunday mornings. We say this a lot around here. I don't think anything will change your life more than you getting into the Word of God daily, every single day. I can get up here and I can preach, and it's important. I think it's important that we gather as the body of Christ, absolutely, to come in here together, corporately seek the Lord together as the church. But if you're not doing it at home day after day after day, you're missing out on connection and intimacy and fellowship with your Heavenly Father. And I'm telling you, nothing will change your life more than that. So encourage you, bring your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, please let us know. We'll get one in your hand. We would love, nothing would bring me greater joy than to put a Bible in your hand today if you don't have one. All right, we're gonna dive in without further ado here, starting in verse 5. Look at what it says here. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. And so this portion of the text here begins with this profound, profound truth. Look at this with me. He says, we have been united with Christ. That should blow our minds. Christ, the Holy One, the perfect one, God of the universe, we have been united with him. How have we been united with him? Let's look at this for a second. Number one, in his death, it says, for we have been united with him in a death like his. What does that mean? It means when we put our faith in Christ, the old me, the old life that I once lived, dies. It goes away. It's no longer, again, who I am. I have been united with Christ in his death, and that is a very good thing. The old me's gone. More importantly, though, look at the second part of this. We have also been united with him in a resurrection like his. Like our old self didn't just die and now we're in the grave, right? No, we are resurrected into something new, a new creation, right? Our lives were resurrected, it says, with Christ. In other words, our identity is now intimately tied to Jesus. We are united with him. And that means we are united to his power. The resurrection power that raised Jesus now resides in you and on you because you are united with Christ. Again, that should just blow our minds that God would do that for us. Look at Galatians 2:20 with me for a second. It says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. That old me is gone. But Christ now lives in me. Again, God of the universe, Savior of the world, all powerful, all knowing, Jesus now lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is critical. Again, theology and understanding, church, to live, I believe, a victorious life in Christ. When we were united with Christ, church, don't miss this. Something died that day. Something died. What died? Look at what it says here. It says that our old self, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. What is the old self? It's our old sinful nature. That person that I once was, that was incapable, frankly, of overcoming sin in my life, of living in a righteous way in any way, died. That person is now gone. The word that's used here for old self in the original Greek is this word paleos. Paleos. And it doesn't mean old chronologically. It means old to the point of uselessness. That old me is now useless. It's gone. Like a car that is just completely rusted out. The wheels are gone. And the only thing it's good for is the junkyard. That's my old life. It's good for nothing but going to the scrap heap, right? And so don't miss this. Our old sin nature has been crucified with Jesus, and it has been replaced with something. We didn't just die. It's been replaced by the power of God and the ability to actually live a righteous life that we could not live before. I love the language that Paul uses here. Look at this again, this amazing truth with me. He says, we are no longer ruled by sin. We're no longer mastered by our sin. He uses this language of slavery. We're no longer enslaved to those desires, those sinful ways that we once lived in. That's not a master over us anymore. There was a point. This is the reality where my sin mastered me. It ruled me. It reigned over my life. I was incapable of breaking free of that. And yet what Paul is saying here is this: we have been completely set free from that. We are no longer under the bondage of sin. And again, this is so important for us to understand. We were incapable of conquering any sin in our lives. We were completely given to our wants and desires and our flesh. And then we met Jesus, and he transformed our lives. And now we actually have this new self, the one that we've received through Christ. We have power to overcome that. Power through the Holy Spirit. Not our own power, not my own doing, not willpower or white knuckling it, but the power of God working through my life. Now I know what some of you are thinking right now, because as I even prepared this message this week, I began to just think about my own life. I know the question that's running through some of your minds right now. But Justin, why is it that I still sin then? I mean, if I have this power, right? If God has set me free, if I'm no longer enslaved to my sins, well, why does it feel like some days I'm still really enslaved to my sin? What is that? Why do I feel like that? Well, don't miss this. Again, such an important thing for us to understand today. We are a new creation. There's no question. You are a new creation. Something new. Your heart has been transformed. But you have memories. I'm going to call them memories. You have parts of your flesh that still remain, that you look back to. And even though you're a completely new creation, you can't help yourself but just look back and go, yeah, but I remember the way that I once was and the sins that I once engaged in. And there's such a temptation to go back to that. And so while, no, you no longer are a slave to sin, we know this. Everyone in the room knows this. We are still going to sin. It doesn't mean we're not going to sin, but there is something that has fundamentally changed, right? Sin is still present. This is how I want to convey this. It's still present in your life and in this fallen world, but it's no longer president over your life. It doesn't reign over you anymore. It doesn't rule over you anymore. You have absolutely all ability to not engage in that sin anymore. You do, through the power of God. Let me put it this way. There's a guy by the name of Martin Lloyd-Jones. He gives this illustration, and I love this illustration of this. Imagine there's two fields. Over here, this field is Satan's field. And this is where every single person, before they come into relationship with Jesus, lives. We're living in that field. We're living it up. We're living for all of our own sinful pleasures and desires. We're rebelling against God, right? But when we come into faith in Jesus, now imagine there's a fence that goes down right along the side, the edge of that field. There's another field right next to it. And over here, this is God's field. This is the kingdom of God. When you become a follower of Jesus, you move from Satan's field over into the field of God. And once you're in that field, nothing can ever drag you back into Satan's field. But you better believe in our humanness and that flesh that's still there, those memories that we want to look back into the other field, don't we? We want to look back over there and we're so tempted to go, but I remember when I used to live that way. I kind of still want to do that, even though I know I shouldn't and I know I have the power not to. There's a little part of me that wants to, right? That's what happens to us when we come into faith in Jesus. Sin is defeated in our lives. But there is that little bit of flesh memory still left that we want to go back to. And so ultimately, guys, here's how I want you to look at this. Because the reality is sin will not be eradicated completely until Jesus deals his final blow to Satan. We're still going to sin, but we are no longer a people whose identity is, I'm a sinner. That's the differentiation, right? Yes, we're still gonna sin, but my identity is not, I'm a sinner. No, I'm not. I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm something brand new and something has changed in my life. And so Paul, he drives this home here in verses 8 and 10, or 8 through 10. Look at this with me. He says, now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So what is he saying here? He's saying Christ died ultimately to break the power of sin over our lives. And he did that, it says, once and for all. Christ only had to die once for us to have complete and total freedom from sin and death in our lives, right? One death accomplishes, you know, in Christ, accomplishes complete power over sin and death. And this gives us a power to live for God, to live righteously. That's the word, right? To live a righteous life. We actually have the power to do that because of what Christ did for us. And so here's the challenge that Paul gives in light of that. If that's true, if we really believe that, right? We're a new creation in Christ. We have the power of God now living inside of us through the Holy Spirit. We are capable of not sinning. We actually are capable of that. We won't, because until God eradicates evil once and for all, we're going to go back to those old memories, but we're actually capable of doing that. And so look at what Paul says next. He says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. He says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. If you've really been changed, if you really have a new heart, you're a new creation, he says, don't let sin run rampant in your life. Don't let that happen, right? It's not just, here's what he's saying. It's not just conceptually possible to overcome those sins in our life that we continue to struggle with. It actually is possible. And I think as Christians, and the Christians in the room have been Christians for a while, this is hard actually to imagine, isn't it? Like, this is actually really hard to believe, I think, sometimes, because I know the sins that I've struggled with and the ones that I just keep going back to. And I'm like, how is that possible, right? But I think it's hard to believe here for a couple of reasons. Number one, we truly don't understand how different we are now. Like, it's an identity issue. We really don't understand who we are. We say things like this. Oh, that's just who I am. That's just who I am, and that's just always who I'll be, and so I'll never be able to change. Baloney. That's what I'm saying. I'm calling it out right now. That's not true. That is not true. That is a lie that Satan is perpetrating in your mind to make you believe you can never change. Not on your own power, but because of God, because of the power of Christ living inside of you, right? We say things like that That's just who I am, but that's wrong. That's who you were. That's not who you are anymore. Let me give you this illustration. Do you know the story of Lazarus? Right, Lazarus dies. He's one of Jesus's friends. He goes in the tomb. They wrap him up, right, in these burial wrappings. And what does Jesus do? He comes, and a few days later, Jesus does what Jesus does best, right? He resurrects, right? He brings him back to life. And Lazarus comes walking out of the tomb. He's now alive. He's not dead anymore. But guess what he still has all over him? He's got all these wrappings still all around him, right? And we know that he's gonna take those wrappings off, right? And he's gonna take everything off. It's all gonna drop to the ground. And there he's gonna be just as new as and as fresh as he was before he died. But here's what we do. We get resurrected. We have Jesus infilling us with his Holy Spirit. We're alive. We're a new creation. And we start to take those wrappings off. But in our flesh, we still kind of wanna keep hanging on to some of those wrappings. And so we let a wrapping kind of hang on here. That old dead part of us, that sin part of us, we just let it kind of hang on instead of just grabbing it and throwing that thing off. That's what we do. But we have all of the ability, all of the authority in Christ to unwrap all of it and get it all off of us. That is so important for us to understand. You want to live a victorious life in Christ, a righteous life in Christ. Again, you'll never be perfect. You're always going to look back over the fence until the day Jesus finally returns and eradicates Satan forever. But we are capable. And I think there's somebody in the room right now who just needs to hear that. Man, I've been struggling with this thing and I feel like I'm defeated and I can't beat it. Well, first of all, you're right. You can't beat it. But Christ in you, the one you've united with now, he absolutely can. He can defeat that. And Satan does not want you to believe that truth. He does not want you to believe that. He is working overtime right now to deceive you and make you believe that's not possible. And here's the truth today. Until a believer accepts that and actually believes that truth, that Christ has broken the power of sin over your life, you won't live victoriously. Because in your heart, you don't really believe that it's possible, right? We live like this, I think, sometimes. We live like a slave who's been set free but continues to go back to that slave master and put themselves under their authority even when they don't have to. That's what we do. We've been set free from sin, and yet what do? We keep going back to that sin and putting ourselves and our life under its authority, letting it master us when we don't have to anymore. We've been given all authority and power to not do that, right? We're capable of resisting temptation and sin. And here's the bottom line, church. The only way that sin really has power over your life is if you give it power, right? Our mortal bodies, he talks about our mortal bodies. That's our flesh. If you give your flesh the opportunity to do it, it will, right? And our mind, recognize this, our mind is part of our flesh. Our brain is part of our flesh, right? And so a lot of the war that's going on inside of you is happening right here. It's in your mind, right? And so be cognizant of that. Recognize that, all right? And so what does Paul do? Once we are, you know, understanding that we're capable of this, he urges believers to offer their bodies as instruments of righteousness. He doesn't just say, don't focus on this. He says, do focus on this over here. And this is the power that God has given to you as a believer. You now have the power to focus your whole self on righteousness. I don't have time to get into exactly what that looks like and means this week, but spoiler alert, next week, we're going to look at that. Come back next week. It's powerful, right? And so his final reminder here, I think, is of the utmost importance. Sin is no longer our master, and that's not because of our effort. Look at this with me, verse 14. For sin shall no longer be your master. Why? Because you are not under the law, but under grace. You're no longer under the law. What exactly does this mean, right? It means that we could not save ourselves. We could not get out of this sin problem by fulfilling and keeping the law. We couldn't do enough good things to make things right. It was never going to happen that way. Instead, how do we get set free from sin? Not from our own works, but by the amazing, incredible grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how we are set free into a life of righteousness. It is by grace, and it is grace that fuels and powers righteous living. Not my own, white knuckling or, you know, willpower, but the grace of God working through me, pouring over me day after day after day. Again, so important for us to remember that and recognize that, because what could be very easy for you to hear right now is, well, I just need to be better. I just need to do more, right? No, it's actually about you surrendering more, giving up more control to the one who has true power in your life, the one that, again, you are now united with, and that is Christ. And so what's the takeaway from this today? Because I'm sure in a room this size, man, there's a lot of maybe feelings and emotions that are being drummed up right now. But if I could just narrow this down, boil this down to one thing that I want you to walk away from this message with here today is this. Someone needs to hear this. You are not a slave to your sin anymore. You are not a slave to your sin anymore, right? It is no longer your master. If you feel like it's mastering you right now, here's why. It's not because you're not capable. Somebody, please hear that before you leave today. It's not because you're not capable. It's because you've believed the lie that you're still the old you, and you're not the old you anymore. Again, you are a new creation in Christ. And so, church, can I talk to you for a second? Church, we are no longer slaves to our pride and our selfishness. We're not slaves to that anymore. It died with Christ. When he died and we died with Christ, so did our selfishness and our pride. That's not who you are anymore. Church, we're no longer slaves to our shame. Our shame died with Christ. That's not who we are anymore. I don't have to walk around looking back on all the things I've done and all the ways I've messed up and feel like I'm the most horrible, wretched person on the planet. Christ didn't die so that I could continue to live with that kind of thinking and mentality. No, he died to set me free from that. You're no longer a slave to that shame. Church, we are no longer slaves to our addictions. Do you know what an addiction is? It's just idolatry on steroids, and you can have a heart idol for anything in this world. You're not a slave to that anymore. Those things, those addictions, right? What's a heart idol? It's a thing that we believe is going to give us what only God can give us. We're not a slave to that anymore. Why? Because we know I'm united with Christ. My focus is on him. I have everything I need in him and my relationship with him. Nothing in this world is going to give me more joy than that. We're not slaves to our addictions anymore. Church, we're no longer slaves to our lusts for power, pleasure, or achievement. They died with Christ. All of those things died with Christ. I don't need those things anymore to feel fulfilled, to feel joy, to live in what I perceive as an abundant life. Right? Finally, how about this one? We are no longer slaves to our envy and to our greed. I don't need more. I have everything that I need in Christ. My envy and my greed, it died with Jesus on the cross. And for me, church, it is a glorious and amazing and beautiful thing to know that I am no longer under the tyranny of my sin. It no longer is my master. And the moments where I know I'm falling short and I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing and I'm rebelling, I'm having those micro moments of rebelling, that doesn't defeat me anymore. I just go, you know what? No. Christ died to set me free from that. That doesn't own me. It's not mastering me. There is a way to overcome that. And I think far too many believers, here's the truth today, are still walking around like they are slaves. Like they are slaves to their sin, and you're not anymore. And my challenge to you is stop thinking like you are. Stop believing the lie that you are. Church, here's the greatest lie that Satan wants you to believe. It's that you're still the same old person you were before Jesus saved you. That's what he wants you to think. Don't believe the lie. Don't believe the lie. Church, the tomb is empty. Tomb is empty. Jesus walked out of the grave. Your old self was crucified with Jesus. Your chains have been broken. Your master has changed. It's not sin anymore. Now it's Jesus. And so this week, when that temptation whispers in your ear, you'll never change. You're always going to be the same wretched person that you were. Church, don't believe the lie. It's not true. That person died and you now belong to Christ. You are united with him. Take the bandages off. He made you alive. He resurrected your life. Don't walk around with those old dead burial wrappings on you anymore. Take them off and throw them to the ground. And if you are the skeptic in the room this morning, I know. I know there's somebody in the room maybe right now who's thinking, I don't know if I can believe it in all of this. I don't know if I can trust in this Jesus figure that you're talking so passionately about up here. All I can say to you is this. Jesus Christ is who he says he is. He did what he claims he did, what the Bible claims he did. He died for you. He loves you so very much. He wants to set you free from the destructive sin patterns in your life that are not only destroying this life, but will destroy your future life. He desires to do that in your life. And all we have to do, this is the amazing, glorious truth of the gospel. There's nothing we can do. There's not enough good works we can do to get ourselves out of that. All we got to do is admit, I am a sinner, but I don't want to be anymore. And Jesus, I know you're the only one who can fix that in my life. And so I trust you. I believe in you. I want to pursue you. I'm going to follow you. And Lord Jesus, I'm going to ask you to change my heart and begin to work on me and make me more into your likeness. And every person in this room who's put their faith in Jesus, they know this. And they all, every one of us, we started in the same place. We started in the same place, and none of us has it all together. We're still struggling. We still go back to that field regularly. But God has done a work in our lives. He has changed us and given us a new heart. And man, do we want that for you. And so if that's you today, I'd love to have a conversation with you before you leave this place. I'd love to put a Bible in your hand, get you connected with somebody who can walk alongside of you as you begin a relationship with Jesus. But church, man, let's leave this place knowing the old me is dead and gone. The new creation is here. I'm not who I once was. And I do have the power, not in my own power, but through the power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit working in my life to no longer allow sin to master me and be enslaved to that.